Hi everybody, welcome to the Slutty Elixir. I'm your host, Mr. B, and I'll be your chaperone as we dive deep into the deliciously complex world of sex, intimacy, and self-discovery. Whenever we meet, you're guaranteed your dose of unfiltered conversation, unapologetic honesty, and provocative insights where nothing is off limits, and every story is a potion mixed for your pleasure, growth, and liberation. So come and explore the taboo, celebrate the sultry, and embrace the multifaceted magic of sexuality in all its forms. So go grab a drink, lean in, and get ready to indulge, because here, we're all about finding our own elixir for a bold and shamelessly authentic life. See, I thought it was necessary for a show like this, because we're taught from so young to feel embarrassed about our bodies and our desires. Modesty becomes a virtue, and modesty over time turns into silence. Don't look, don't ask, don't think about it. The less said, the better. But just like that, curiosity is suppressed. Natural questions go unanswered, and a fundamental part of who we are gets wrapped up in shame. So this show is about unwrapping that shame. It's about demystifying, destigmatizing, and breaking down the taboos that surround what is a really natural and beautiful experience that we get to share here on Earth. And realistically, the more I think about it, it really is just fear. Fear of what we don't fully understand. For all our modern advances, we're still so uncomfortable educating people, truly educating them about sex. And it's a lack of understanding that keeps the silence in place. Knowledge is power, and power is so liberating. And maybe for some, that liberation is too much. It's too challenging to the status quo. And you know, we even see it in the media, that sex is either hyper-sensationalized or covered up with a little veil. It's either too much, almost like a spectacle, or too little, like a secret, but rarely just normal. And that makes it so easy to make sex this mysterious, forbidden thing. But the truth behind why I really am committed to the Slutty Elixir and unapologetic about my love of sex, it's because the irony is, we're all here because of it. Every one of us is here because of it. We're all in some way bound by this universal, natural part of life. Yet, we're discouraged from understanding it, from talking about it. And maybe it's time to change that. Maybe it's time to bring this out of the shadows and give it the dignity it deserves. Not as something to be ashamed of, but as something to understand, respect, and yes, talk about. And I'll go a little bit further. Something to enjoy, something to be good at, and something to really, really be free within. So welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome back. Now, I'll waste no time and jump right into telling you what this show really means to me. You see, the Slutty Elixir is way more than a podcast. In fact, I went about creating the place that I needed to feel free and comfortable to discuss sex. And then I invited you, so you could have a place to be free and comfortable to discuss sex. And in some way, that would create our very own community, where we could have interesting discussions, but also normalize the idea that sex isn't just the sleazy sum of our physical parts. But at the core, I felt like it was time for sex to get a little bit of a rebrand. It was time for us to stop making it just about the physical. And in reality, it's probably one of the most transformative, powerful, and insightful forms of communication that we could ever experience with another. But let's be honest. Haven't you ever wanted a space where you could talk about sex openly, all of it? Where no topic is off limits and no question was too bold? Well, that's what I want to do here. See, imagine a podcast that dives deep into sexuality. not just in the physical sense, but in all the nuanced, emotional, and intellectual layers that it must possess. It's all about peeling back the stigma and embracing our desires, our questions, our fears, and our curiosities, all with a dose of humor, honesty, and yes, sometimes a little bit of raunchiness. But I want to be like that friend who isn't afraid to talk about what everybody else avoids. You know, that person who says all the things you're too shy to say. Yeah, that's me. And it's incredibly freeing to hear. Because sexuality, it's central to who we are as humans. We're surrounded by it, influenced by it, and sometimes we're even confused by it. But society loves to sweep it under the rug, make us feel embarrassed about our bodies, our desires, our orientations. Why? This podcast is all about breaking down those walls and saying, hey, it's okay to talk about this stuff. Because here's the reality. When we understand our sexuality, we get a deeper understanding of ourselves. We become more empowered and more comfortable in our own skin. That's what the Slutty Elixir does for our listeners. It normalizes these conversations. It creates a safe space for laughter, vulnerability, and learning. And as we all know, an open mind and an open heart are the best tools for growth. The best part is that this is not just a podcast. It's a community. Each episode isn't just a one-way talk either. It sparks conversations. It gives listeners permission to explore, to ask questions, and to step out of their comfort zones. Because sexuality is personal, but it's also universal. And the Slutty Elixir? Well, it's like the perfect cocktail of insight, openness, with just a splash of spice. So if you're ready to embrace the unapologetic, the curious, the real, then I say give it a listen. It's time that we all stop whispering and start talking. And the Slutty Elixir is here to remind you that we all have sexuality, and it's something to be celebrated, not shamed. So episode one is a bit special because it's not like the others. You see, this is the one where I get to introduce myself and my thoughts and my philosophy. So it's a bit more deep and intimate and a bit slower pace, but that's okay. We're still going to talk about my life and my thoughts on OnlyFans and the world of porn and content creation. And then we'll talk about you and how we all play a part in this. So stay tuned. Now, unless you've been living off the grid or under a rock, then you can see that the landscape of sex work has shifted in recent years, with digital platforms like OnlyFans giving people a new way to express themselves, build audiences, and make money on their own terms. In fact, OnlyFans has become a household name, but it's still a world clouded with myths, judgment, and a lot of curiosity. So today we're peeling back the curtain to talk about the realities of being a digital creator in the adult industry, the empowerment it can bring, and the challenges that come with it. So let's dive into what it really means to navigate the world of sex work online. I think for most of us, we can understand that for gay people, being in the closet is really damaging and it's a really difficult way to live life. But when you are an OnlyFans creator or even a sex worker, then you too can relate. In fact, when you're an OnlyFans creator, you're pretty aware that most people are trying to understand, well, why are you doing this? They're trying to wrap their brain around it, and God forbid they think you're half smart. Well, if they think you're half smart, then they're really puzzled. In fact, it's almost like they take it almost personally. Well, as someone who isn't ashamed of it, I figure we'll have a good conversation about it. So here's my truth. You know, I feel like we really come to this decision from one of three mindsets. You either need the money, you are sexually liberal with a high sex drive, or you have a physical advantage. You know, you got a big dick, a nice ass, nice body, or amazing tits. Something like that. And it can even be a blend of all of the above. Like for me, I feel like I sample from all the options listed. First of all, life is expensive, and I don't have a trust fund or some high-paying executive job. And to be frank, I'm also not willing to sacrifice any more of my life or time to have another job, you know, a second conventional job. So, to be honest, the sheer convenience of what OnlyFans could offer is really appealing. Now, in terms of a physical advantage, I guess that this is where I think that it starts to become more of a level playing field. You see, sexually, I think there's something for everyone. And sure, I love fitness, but when it comes to physical appearance, I don't believe in ideals. I think we're all uniquely sexy, and that's my opinion. But on the other hand, I see how people enjoy the male body in all its forms. Whether you're thick, you're thin, you're muscular, you're, I don't know, hairy, smooth, short, tall. There really is someone for everyone. But this is something I take advantage of. See, I love to show off. I love my legs. I love to show off my fitness achievements. And yeah, even my bulge. See, seduction, sophistication, and classic masculinity is my brand. I think people enjoy the quiet confidence of a sophisticated man. It's sexy, it's calming, and it's really fucking hot. But that's because I'm an exhibitionist, and I get turned on by showing off. Now, other exhibitionists like to add a level of excitement by being risque publicly. The chance of getting caught doing something sexual in a place that you shouldn't, for them it takes it to another level. But for me, the way my anxiety is set up, that is definitely not for me. For me, I simply enjoy being the subject of your desire. And for that, I'm willing to give a little. I'm willing to show a little and willing to thirst trap a little. But personally, seeing the way people react when, I don't know, when they experience my sexual energy, well, it was enough for me to make adult content. But don't get me wrong. Just because it was really encouraging doesn't mean it was easy to just put myself out there. But it helped knowing that there was a market, definitely. To close out my slutty little triad, I too have an overactive libido. Yeah, some days I could chill a little, but most days, I'm horny from start to stop. And being horny makes me want to connect with my inner exhibitionist. You see, unlike others who hide their sexual urges and their insatiable needs, I'm the opposite. In fact, I seek it out. I'm overly expressive in that way. And I seem to be way more comfortable as a sexual extrovert than others. And this is why I fully connect with the choice I made to make adult content. But behind this self-awareness was a lot of conditioning. I was exposed to lots of sexuality growing up. In fact, if I'm keeping it very real, I've always been sexualized. In fact, I don't recall a time that someone wasn't being too touchy or friendly. An uncle, a cousin, a stepsister, even dad's friend. But for me, puberty was wild. It really did feel like in a few years I grew decades, at least sexually. My arousal template is also not like most, because there was no fairy tale kiss. It was just a teenager and a grown man in a shed. But somehow, that made me want it more. It made me feel like their weakness was somehow where I gained more power. Knowing that I can cause this grown man to come. Fuck, that was so hot. And it gave me a high that I'd never felt before from another teenager. But the difference between back then and now is I'm no longer an object. I've made myself the subject. And that is way more empowering. Here's the irony. Society consumes sex work. It's in our media, our internet, our fantasies. We see it, we buy it, we feed it, but we don't acknowledge it. It's like we want the fantasy, but not the reality of what that fantasy requires. We judge the people who make it possible, calling them immoral, we call them sluts, we call them whores, and yet, we're the ones propping up their demand. And that's hypocrisy, plain and simple. But what's even more tragic is how often sex workers are silenced, kept from sharing their own experiences and their stories. We talk about them, but rarely with them. We don't listen to the people who actually know the realities, the dangers, the complexities of the work. But until we do, until we actually let them speak for themselves, the stigma will remain unbroken. Imagine if we could change that. If we could actually listen, if we could reframe sex work just as work, no more dirty secret, no more hiding, no more shame, just dignity, safety, and respect. Because at the end of the day, people deserve that, no matter what their job is. Something I find interesting is that people think that they know what it's all about. They think that they figured it all out, that it's just there to satisfy some purely physical need. They think that it's just about the surface, about the looks, about the bodies, and that's it. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Because it's funny that most of the time, what people are looking for isn't just sex. It's a connection. A real, raw, human connection. They look for something that makes them feel seen, heard, and even valued. They want to be understood. They want someone who will listen to their desires, their kinks, their fetishes, their needs, who pays attention to the small details, and someone who isn't judging them or, you know, ridiculing them. Now, you'd be surprised how many people are really just trying to connect by talking. They don't need much. They just really want to know what's in your mind. And they kind of want the comfort and honesty that they might not get anywhere else in their lives. So yes, it might be sex work, but sometimes it feels like you're offering a kind of companionship that they've been craving and couldn't find anywhere else. And there's a lot of vulnerability in that line of work that I think nobody really sees. Because when someone is really just showing a side of themselves that they might not show anyone else, not only is that vulnerable, but it's getting kind of hot. And that's what a sex worker gets to witness. And they get to let that person feel safe, even if it's just for a few minutes of a chat or whatever. Even if it's for an hour, it is a lot more than just the physical. Now, sometimes, I think that's what people don't understand about sex work, is that it really isn't about the bodies. It's about the souls reaching out, even if only for a moment. It's about offering a space where someone can feel for a little while that they matter. And maybe that's the most human thing of all. To just want to be seen or to be held and to be connected. So yeah, I make adult content. But really what I do is offer people a way to feel a human connection and to feel less alone. And honestly, I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. Welcome back to the Slutty Elixir, the show where we dig into everything taboo, fascinating, and we keep it real. So, tonight we're going to venture into something that is also a little bit awkward to talk about, but undeniably a part of so many people's lives. I think you can see where I'm going with this. We're going to dive into the vast, the varied, and often surprising world of porn. Now, it's an industry worth billions, but I think there's so much more to it than people realize. So buckle up, and we're going to take a look at the landscape of different types of porn, from the wildly mainstream to the intensely niche. But before we do that, you know that I love a good elixir fact, so let's jump into a fact before we do this. Now, did you know that there are actually over 100 different genres of porn? Yeah, that's right. Just like there's a movie genre for every taste, there is something for every fantasy and every desire. So we're going to get into a few of the most popular and some that might make you raise an eyebrow or two. Now, to spin off of talking about OnlyFans, I think the first up seems a bit natural, and that's amateur porn. Now, some people just want the fantasy to feel a little bit more real. And amateur porn is all about capturing that raw and filtered feel. It's got a DIY vibe, you know, shot on phones or low-budget cameras, and with a total lack of production polish. People feel drawn to it, I guess, because it feels more authentic, like they're looking at something real, you know, somebody they know, rather than some kind of big production. And I guess in a world where we're all about filters and the right angles, amateur porn, it still says, come as you are. I love me some amateur porn too. Like, I don't know, there's something about getting into it and seeing the guy and realizing that, yeah, he's a real man. This isn't some actor that probably is just sitting around being pampered. This is a guy that is dealing with life and he needs to bust a nut. And that's so fucking hot. Now, one that is a little bit more out there would be the category of ASMR porn. Yeah, that's right, ASMR. You know, those videos where people whisper or they make soothing sounds. Now, some people are drawn to this because of the sounds and, I guess, the intimacy alone. ASMR porn has a strange, hypnotic quality. It's not about visuals or actions, but about sparking those intimate chills up the spine. Well, here's a real question for you. What was your last porn search, and what does it say about you? Maybe you're chuckling or squirming a bit, but stick with me, because it isn't about judgment. How could it be? I mean, I just told you that I make adult content. It's actually about insight. Think of your search history as a mirror. Sure, it's an old, slightly smudged mirror with cum on it, but it reflects a slice of who you are in ways that might even surprise you. See, let's say that you search for something ultra specific. You wanted that one exact scene with the storyline just right, the lighting just so, maybe even a certain phrase or look. And what does that say? It might mean you're someone who craves control, detail, or even structure. You don't want randomness, you want precision. There's comfort in knowing exactly what to expect in a world where so much can be unpredictable. But what if you're someone who searches for, well, the unexpected? You want spontaneity, something you've never even considered, or maybe you just hit random. That search history says you're open-minded, a bit adventurous, maybe a thrill seeker. You embrace the unknown, the strange, and you're not afraid to see where it leads. It's like a mini adventure in the safety of your own screen. And what about the nostalgic searches, the classics? Maybe it's an old scene, actors you watched years ago, or something that reminds you of a certain time in your life. If that's you, well, maybe you're someone who finds comfort in familiarity. You like the connection to your past, to that old feeling you're trying to tap into again. It's less about novelty and more about reconnecting with a vibe, a memory, or a feeling. So next time you search, consider that you're not just watching something on a screen. You're connecting with parts of your personality, your values, your experiences, and your dreams. Parts that are unique, dynamic, and yours alone. And maybe, just maybe, there's more honesty in that search history than we usually give credit for. Alright lovers, that's a wrap on our very first episode of The Slutty Elixir. We've dipped our toes in the world of online sex work, and we've even talked about the connections between our porn searches and what it can really say about us. And remember, whether you're out there just navigating your sexuality on your own, or you're connecting with other people, the whole objective is, this is your life and there is only one you get to live, or at least that we know of. So please don't let shame keep you inhibited. Remember that you live by your own rules. So, keep those hearts open and those minds curious, because this is just the beginning. Trust me. The next time, we're going to dive even deeper into pleasure, intimacy, and all the deliciously messy stuff that comes with living a full, unapologetic life. So thanks for sipping on the elixir with me. And don't forget to bring an open mind and a little sass, and maybe a shot of something strong. But until then, stay bold, stay curious, and stay unapologetically you.